We should, like, go and, like, hang out with Todd.
Whoa, it's Todd.
Yeah.
Todd's even cooler than we thought.
Boys, I'm looking for a fella who goes by the name of Todd.
Oh, yeah. He's cool.
Todd would make, like, a good manager or something.
Todd roll.
Welcome to another episode of the 206 Geek Podcast with your host Todd, the 206 Geek.
Yes, I'm your host Todd, the 206 Geek, and this is episode 120. Happy New Year's, everybody. Hope you guys had a somewhat eventful New Year's Eve, even though a lot of us probably stayed home and did nothing but watch TV, and which is, you know what, it's fine. You know, that's kind of how I've been doing it anyways for the last few years. I don't really go out and celebrate like I used to. Don't go out. When I was living in Seattle, I used to go to, like, the Seattle Center and watch the Space Needle, like, light up with fireworks and stuff. It was always cool. You know, just as I've gotten older, I just realized that, you know what, I'm good staying home, watching something on TV, and then tuning into the countdown, you know, right before midnight. And I guess they still call it Dick Clark's New Year's Eve thing, I think. And that's not the exact words, but it has Dick Clark in the title either way. And it's Ryan, what's his face, you know, from American Idol. Anyways, I didn't watch that. I did, however, if you've been following the things I post on social media, and if you don't follow the social media page, go to facebook.com/206geek. I posted about this thing where if you start watching the original Star Wars movie, a lot of people call it A New Hope. I watched the version on Disney Plus. And if you start watching the movie at 10:02 and 42 seconds, the Death Star explodes at the moment it strikes midnight. And that's what I did last night. And it was really cool. It timed up just right. And yeah, it was cool. I wasn't watching with anybody. I just basically was sitting in my room watching the movie. And at one point, I was even, like, not even really paying that close attention. I've seen that movie so many times, I pretty much couldn't recite the whole movie, but yeah, so that's what I did last night. Hopefully you guys had a fantastic New Year's Eve. You got to kiss someone at midnight. You got to do all the traditional stuff that people do during New Year's Eve. So today's the 1st of January 2021. It's a whole new year. And I'm not going to get too political, but I did want to comment that, you know, we got, what is it, on the 20th, we're going to be having a new president. So that's going to be different, right? For me, I think it's going to be cool because, you know, at least this guy is a politician and he's not likely to go on rants in the middle of the night on his social media. And I don't know if I agree with 100% of his policies, but I think he is definitely the lesser of two evils. So that being what it is, let's get on to the cool stuff that we talk about on my podcast. I don't talk about that kind of stuff, right? I want to start off with this. Just a few days ago, the woman who played Marianne on Gilligan's Island, if you're old and like me, you remember Gilligan's Island pretty fondly. She passed away at 82. Due to complications from COVID-19. And that's sad, because she was probably one of my favorite characters on the show. And I think she and the woman who played Ginger are the only ones that were still alive. Everybody else has passed away. A few years back, the professor passed away, and a few years before him was when the actor who played Gilligan passed away. So, and the other ones all died like in the 80s, you know, early 90s. So this first story I have here is Tina Louise, who played Ginger, remembers her co-star Don Wells. You know, rest in peace, Don. You were definitely one of the cool ones, I think, on that show. This is what it says here from Tina. Says Tina Louise, best known as Ginger on Gilligan's Island, is sharing words of remembrance about her late co-star Don Wells, who played Marianne. Wells passed away at the age of 82 this week due to complications related to COVID-19. Since Gilligan's Island made Marianne and Wells an icon, fans all over the world are mourning the loss. Tina Louise now stands as the final living cast member of Gilligan's Island. Gilligan's Island's band of survivors trapped on a deserted island. Not desert, deserted. Since Ginger Marianne pairing has become such a staple in pop culture, it's only fitting that we hear Tina Louise's reflections on what this loss truly means. Quote, I'm very sad. Donna was a very wonderful woman. I want people to remember her as someone who always had a smile on her face, Louise said to NYP. Nothing is more important than family, and she was family. She will always be remembered, end quote. And there's a great photo of the two of them here on Gilligan's Island. Here on Gil... Yeah, sorry, I'm not going to do that. And now I kind of want to watch Gilligan's Island. You know what? I'm pretty sure I can probably find it online to watch. Now that Tina Louise is the last surviving member. That's it for that story. All right, the next few stories I have here are all DC Comics related. We have a story here about Batwoman Season 2. I have two or three stories I'm going to kind of lump together about the Snyder Cut and Ben Affleck's Batman and the Flash, Ezra Miller's Flash. And then, yes. All right, let's start with the Wonder Woman Season 2 premiere synopsis. And it looks like there's a poster related to. Oh, cool. That looks awesome. All right, this is what it says here. Today, the CW released the official synopsis for Batwoman's Season 2 premiere, titled What Happened to Kate Kane? The episode will reckon with the loss of series lead Ruby Rose, who elected to step away from the role of Batwoman after the show's first season. Producers decided to get rid of Kate Kane rather than recasting her. I think it's a smart move, honestly. So the episode has a lot of heavy lifting to do, from introducing the new heroine, Ryan Wilder, I gotta say that right, played by Javicia Leslie. I think that's how it's... If I get that wrong, I apologize. I'm not doing it on purpose. I just... Some of these names are difficult for me. And asking the big question about where Kate went, to paying off teases from the end of Season 1, including a showdown with Hush, who is imprisoning Bruce Wayne, played by Warren Christie. Holly Dale directed the episode, which was written by showrunner Caroline Dries, D-R-I-E-S. The synopsis was accompanied by a new poster shared to Leslie's Instagram account. I need to follow her account if I don't already. Let's see if I have. Nope, I am not following her, so I'm going to go ahead and follow her now. Close that tab. And this, it shows it. If you watched the original season of Wonder Woman, you remember in the first couple episodes where Kate was wearing Bruce's Batman costume and it didn't have the red wig, it was just the cowl. This photo looks like it's the cowl without the wig. And you know what? I'm okay with that. I'm cool with that. And I know that they're going to have the hair showing at some point. But this image shows that. And it looks like season 2 premieres on the 17th. So we got like 17 more days until that shows up on the CW. All right. And then we have this next story. It says here, Zack Snyder teases first Justice League episode with Ben Affleck's Batman. This was posted on heroichollywood.com. And it says, Zack Snyder has shared new image of Ben Affleck's Batman from the first book of his Justice League miniseries coming to HBO Max in March. Oh, dude, that makes me so happy. It's March instead of September. Oh, man, that's awesome. All right, cool. This is when it was first announced that Zack Snyder's Justice League cut was coming to HBO Max, it was mentioned that the film could be presented as a miniseries at DC Fandom. I remember that. It talked about it. Snyder confirmed that his cut will indeed be released in four parts. While the Snyder cut is going to first come out over time, the beloved filmmaker has shared that it will be released as a film down the line as well. Sweet. Oh, dude. Dude, Ben Affleck looks so fucking buff in this. That's crazy. That's crazy. Oh my gosh. All right. It says, we know now that Zack Snyder's Justice League cut will... I already read that part. Okay, blah, 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 blah. The picture's below. Okay, I read that already. Sorry, I got distracted by the photo and went back to see if there was anything more to read, and I started reading the same thing over. All right. Close those old tabs. That's done. And the next story, Zack Snyder reveals how much of his Justice League cut is complete. It says here, with about 3 months until the official release online, Zack Snyder's Justice League is reportedly almost done. During a chat with fans on social media, the social media network Vero, Snyder was quizzed about the status of the cut, which has been refashioned from a more traditional feature film into a four-part miniseries for HBO Max. Snyder replied with that he was 99% done, 99% finished with his version of the Justice League, marking the latest in a series of remarks suggesting that the version of Justice League that Snyder's fans have lobbied for and waited for over 3 years is edging closer. Oh, dude. That's fucking awesome. All right. Let's see here. Along with a new shot of Diana Prince, played by Gal Gadot, from his cut of the movie, Snyder gave fans a little burst of enthusiasm to take out 2020 and head into New Year, in which Zack Snyder's Justice League will be something fans can stream alongside Man of Steel and Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice. The first two installments of what will now be a Zack Snyder DC trilogy. All right. The filmmaker is expected to move on from his relationship with DC following the release of his cut of the Justice League, although anything can happen if this Snyder cut turns out to be a big hit. So it sounds like if this does not go well, he is done with DC. and you know what? And I don't blame him, man, honestly, because the shit that he went through, because essentially what happened was he got fired because his daughter died. And, well, they fired him because they thought he wasn't able to do the job effectively because he's mourning the loss of his child, which I think is just the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. But, you know, that's the excuse they gave for letting him go and replacing him with Joss Whedon. And, yeah. All right, the next story on this list of DC stuff that I wanted to talk about, the Flash movie with Ezra Miller reportedly begins filming in April. And it says here, Warner Brothers continues to amp up its plans for the DC universe on the big screen, and fans fan anticipation continues to grow for the Flash film with filmmaker Andy Muschietti. Again, this is a name I'm probably butchering, and I apologize. And star Ezra Miller. The film appears to bridge the gaps in the multiverse with the appearance of Michael Keaton and Ben Affleck, both of whom will be playing their respective versions of Batman in the cinematic adaptation of the popular storyline Flashpoint. Oh my God, that is so awesome. Oh, I cannot wait. My two favorite Batmans are going to be in the same movie together. I just hope it doesn't suck. Of course, I probably just jinxed it now, right? And if you're eager to see how it turns out, you won't have to wait much longer than as the movie is finally set to begin filming in 2021. According to a new report from Backstage, filming on the Flash will begin in April. They'll be getting a major head start for what's sure to be an effects-heavy movie, as it is not set to release in theaters on November 4th. Filming will reportedly take place at Warner Brothers' Leavesden Studios. I don't know where that is. That's probably... I don't know where that is. Let's Google that real quick. Let's see where Leavesden Studios is. That's not the one in California. I know that. At least I don't think. Unless they changed the name of it. Oh, it's in England. All right. Okay. All right. Where a majority of the production will take place, with Birds of Prey screenwriter Christina Hodson teaming up with the director of Stephen King's It, many fans are eager to learn more about the multiverse shenanigans that Barry Allen will get into. Heck yeah, man. Alrighty. Let's see here. That's awesome. I cannot wait to see that movie. That Flashpoint is probably my favorite animated DC movie. And I've read pieces of the comics, the ones that involve the alternate universe Batman, where it's, you know, Thomas Wayne as the Bat instead of Bruce. So this last thing says here, this is on LRMonline.com, and I think it's Latino Review Magazine, I think is what that stands for. And it says here, President of DC Films Walter Hamada announced today that there will be two separate Batman franchises. Robert Pattinson will play the Caped Crusader in a standalone universe, while Ben Affleck's version of the character will be recast for the DCEU. This is a move we've heard DC was planning to make for some time now. Though it seems the wheels are officially in motion now. Check out what Hamada had to say while speaking with the New York Times below. Okay. Says, quote, "I don't think anyone else has ever attempted this, but audiences are sophisticated enough to understand it. If we make good movies, they will go with it." You know, that's very true. I think that people worrying that they're going to be confused by two different people playing the same part. No, they're not. Okay, maybe little kids, but if they go with their parents will explain it, you know? I mean, come on. I mean, clearly they know the difference between George Clooney, Michael Keaton, and Ben Affleck. Why wouldn't they know? Just because they came out at the same time? No, I don't. Honestly, I think people showed that that's not a problem considering how popular the CW Flash TV show is. And, you know, I think a lot of people actually prefer Grant Gustin over Ezra Miller, especially after that thing, that video that came out with Ezra Miller choking out a fan. Seriously, dude, what was that about? I haven't actually looked into it to see if there's been anything new about that, but I just remember seeing the video and him just being a complete dick, you know? At the very least, he's being a dick. If he's choking out a fan, that's not good. So, all right. All right. So, is there more here? It says, while multiple versions of superheroes are the subject of a number of rumors lately, I believe this will be the first time two big screen versions of the same character will exist at the same time. The more Batman, the better, I always say. You know what? I agree with that, man. Because if you don't like Pattinson, you're probably going to like Batfleck. And if you don't like Batfleck, you're going to probably like Pattinson, you know? At least that's how I'm looking at it. All right. I think that's it for that story. Next, how... Okay. So, today is January 1st, so you've already missed it for last year. The timing, the movie to the dropping of the New Year's ball or whatever. I pulled up a story here of if you don't want to do it with Star Wars, and you know if you don't, that's fine. I'll kind of look at you with a side eye, but you know it really is okay. I'm playing. But if you're an MCU fan, if you like the Avengers and all that, this story will tell you how to time Iron Man's snap in the Avengers Endgame with the start of 2021. Well, we already missed it because that was last night. But you can do it for next year. This is what it says here. There isn't anybody who doesn't want to flip 2020 the bird. And so there's a kind of hard edge to how people are choosing to celebrate New Year's Eve today. But one fun way is to wipe 2020 from your mind. Actually oriented last December when Avengers Endgame was new to home video. Originated, rather. Not oriented. Originated. I can read, I swear. let's see here. The Marvel Cinematic Universe has become such a cultural phenomenon that is now literally interwoven with the fabric of our actual culture. Case in point, Marvel fans have found ways to sync up the events of various Marvel Cinematic Universe movies to key moments in their lives. To ring in the year in 2019, nothing was more in vogue than fans syncing up the Avengers Infinity War's Thanos snap with the New Year's ball drop in Times Square last year. It was time to sync up their New Year's turn with Iron Man getting his own big snap moment with no new Marvel movies in 2020. That one is likely going to prove pretty popular once again. If you start Avengers Endgame exactly at 9:29:30, Iron Man will snap his fingers when it turns midnight, starting off the New Year right. That's cool. See, that's exactly what I did with Star Wars and the blowing up of the Death Star. So, that's cool. All right, next story. And you know what, guys? This may be a short episode. I'm blowing through these really fast, and maybe I should slow down. Let's see here. God, brain fart. I love it when it happens in the middle of a recording. What was I saying? Shit. No, that's not what I was saying. I was saying something else. Let's see. Well, I don't know. Let's move on. I'll figure something else out. This episode might be kind of short, but that's fine. It doesn't need to be an hour. I mean, sometimes I've gone even longer, so it probably evens out if I do a short episode here and there, right? Here's why The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina won't get a Part 5. I haven't read this. I started watching Part 4 yesterday, and I think I got like three episodes in before I went to go do some other things. And I'm going to probably go back and finish watching that today. In the 2 years since it debuted, Netflix's Chilling Adventures of Sabrina has earned a passionate following, with fans growing enamored with its blend of intense supernatural adventures and charming teenage melodrama, resulting in audiences being disappointed when it was revealed earlier this year that it wasn't renewed for a Part 5. What made this announcement especially surprising was that shortly after the first part debuted, it was renewed up to part four, seemingly confirming how invested in the storyline Netflix was. Now that the final episodes of the series have landed on Netflix, we have a better understanding of why there won't be any more episodes. All right, it says, this is a warning for spoilers. If you haven't been watching the show or if you're not caught up, now's your chance to pause and then come back later and listen to the rest of this. So pause now. All right, you've been warned. These final episodes of the series see Lord Blackwood unleashing the Eldritch terrors on Sabrina and the town of Greendale, which are the biggest threats to the teen witch has ever faced. From the weird to the darkness to the void, these threats took all manner of shape and presented Sabrina along with her close allies with the most dangerous foes they've ever faced. Sadly, due to the severity of these threats, the final episode of the series sees Sabrina herself making a sacrifice in order to save her friends, clearly confirming her death. Oh my God. The series solidified her fate sacrifice so blatantly that, in addition to showing her friends and family's gather for her funeral, we see a sequence in which Sabrina is in some sort of afterlife with Nicholas Scratch joining her to continue their romance as he admits to having drowned in the Sea of Sorrows. Wow. You know what? I think there's a possibility that there might be a season 5. At some point maybe they'll go ahead and do a season 5, only because season 4 so far has got two Sabrinas. Because if you remember from series 3 or season 3, she makes a doppelganger or whatever you want to call it, a clone, and so she can be Queen of Hell and be at home and going to school with her friends. And no one would be any wiser. That she'd be in both places. So I'm thinking, this is me thinking now, I'm thinking that one of those two Sabrinas is going to die. And we'll still have the other one. We'll see, I guess. We'll see. All right, next story. Mark Hamill cherishes fans' reaction to Luke Skywalker's return. And I think I already talked about this last episode before the end of the year. But the finale of the Mandalorian shows us two things. One, that Luke Skywalker is in that universe and he shows up to come save Grogu. And number two, we find out that there's a spin-off series going to happen next year with Boba Fett. Well, we already kind of knew that Boba Fett was getting his own show, But there's a confirmation at the end of that's a post-credit scene on the finale of the season two Mandalorian. So this is talking about people like just absolutely just in love with the fact that Luke Skywalker shows up on that last episode. Personally, it is my favorite episode. I rewatched it again last night just to see Luke and hear Luke's voice again. Seeing him, and he's playing a young Luke, so they did some like the CGI de-aging thing they've done, Disney's done for other movies and shows. So this is what it says here on comicbook.com. The season two finale of The Mandalorian shocked fans with the appearance of Mark Hamill's Luke Skywalker, resembling the appearance he had in Return of the Jedi, with fans spending the last few weeks basking in the glory of the delightful return, with countless fans sharing their appreciation for the sequence on social media. Hamill took to Twitter to share his thanks towards fans for their joyful responses to the episode, while also sharing a YouTube video of fan reactions to the moment. Fans have been so supportive of the appearance that some are hoping this could lead towards the character getting a new spinoff series. Oh, dude. Oh, man. Please make this happen. And you know what? To be perfectly honest, I would be okay if they recast Luke with a younger actor. I just want to see more of Luke Skywalker. Or if they did a whole series with a body double and CGI Mark's face on there, I'm okay with that too. I mean, it's not like Disney doesn't have the bankroll to do stuff like that. And this is what Mark says. Seeing fans' reactions to Luke's return is something I will cherish forever. Their anticipation of seeing the X-Wing, the Episode 6 robes, the lightsaber, a green lightsaber, a gloved hand, an ungloved hand, a force choke, R2 was quiver-whelming. I need to clean my glasses, clearly. R2 was overwhelming and very moving to me. He also added hashtag no words to some of his thoughts. Dude, you know what? That was my reaction. My reaction to seeing Luke Skywalker was the same reaction I had when I saw The Force Awakens for the first time and Han and Chewbacca walk onto the Millennium Falcon and he says, "Chewie, we're home." It was so, I got so emotional. I'm getting emotional right now thinking about it. I mean, it was so cool. I was like, I remember watching the finale and seeing the X-Wing going, "Is that, that looks like, nah, it can't be." And then I see, you know, then they show a hooded Jedi with one glove hand. That kind of looks like, no, it's probably, you know, it's probably a different Jedi. They wouldn't have him on the show. And then you see him go through and just kicking ass and taking names. And then the lightsaber lights up green. I'm like, okay, that looks like, that's got to be. And then he takes the hood off, and I'm like, oh my God, it is. That is Luke. And I'm getting all emotional just thinking about it now. It was so cool to see that. And yes, it was a CGI'd face, and it was, I've seen better deep fakes, but nonetheless, it was so cool to see. Yeah, it was, I'm getting all emotional. It was so cool to see Luke Skywalker live action on a TV show. I've been waiting for that for 40 years. You know, if you don't mind how the CGI looks, initially I was like, okay, that it's not great. But And I kind of equated that to with the technology they're using to do that is probably not as processor intensive to make it look as realistic as possible would take a lot more time to generate that realistic look. So it does look a little like computer. It looks a little bit like a video game face, not a deep fake recreation of somebody's younger self. And it was definitely the best part of the series is seeing Luke Skywalker come in and like talk to people and do his Jedi stuff. It was just so cool. Man, I think I need to watch it again. Honestly, I need to watch it again. All right, last story I have here, and I have not watched much of this show, although I might check out this particular episode. Last Man Standing reveals how they got permission to use Tim Allen's Home Improvement character. Now, I remember seeing Tim Allen talking about this on Fallon. I think it was Jimmy Fallon. Or no. The other Jimmy. Not Tonight's Show. Anyways, this is what it says here. It says, in an upcoming episode of Last Man Standing, it will seem like Crisis on Infinite Sitcoms as Tim Allen meets Tim Allen. In the episode, Allen's Last Man Standing character, Mike Baxter, will come face-to-face with Allen's Home Improvement character, Tim the Two-Man Taylor. It is not the first time that series has crossed paths with Allen's 90s sitcom. Previously casting his Home Improvement co-stars, Jonathan Taylor Thomas, Patricia Richardson, and Richard Karn in roles for the series. Though Last Man Standing and Home Improvement are all under the larger umbrella of the Walt Disney Company, it still took a lot of different entities to sign off on the idea for it to become a reality. And he says here, the first hurdle we had to jump is to get Tim to sign off on it. The showrunner, Kevin Abbott, revealed to The Wrap, saying the idea came to them after Fox asked they conceived of a big promotable event. I want to make sure that he wanted to play it, which he did. He fully embraced the idea with the proviso that we would honor that character and not make fun of him or anything. That's awesome. That's great. Which we would never do. Really, I really liked Home Improvement, Matt Williams and David McFadden, and Cameron Feinstra, who created Home Improvement, were really kind and generous to allow us to use the character and certain iconic symbols from the show and bits. So we were going to bend over backwards to not give them any reason to regret allowing us to do that. That is so awesome. That is awesome. Sorry, I had to wipe my nose, man. I was all crying and shit earlier. All right. I'll probably just edit that out. After this, it was required that Fox get permission from Disney, who controls the rights to Home Improvement, even though 20th Century Fox Television is owned by Disney. Fox Broadcasting remains a separate entity. going through those channels took some time, however, with Abbott confirming bigger legal hurdles than you would think in front of them. It was, then he goes on saying, it was the day before the table read that I got permission to actually go forward with the episode, Abbott said. And that was the only because I threatened I'm reading it anyways. So they finally agreed to it. That's awesome. We're going to do it whether you like it or not kind of attitude. That's awesome. All right. That is the last of the stories here. And you know what? I think I'm going to go ahead and end it here. I'm not going to pull up any more stories. Next week's episode will more than likely be a full hour in length. And thank you again, you guys, for subscribing to my podcast. I really do appreciate it. It's the me doing this podcast has been one of the things that has definitely helped with my mental health. It definitely helps. It keeps me occupied. It gives me something to do. And it's definitely a passion project. I enjoy doing this. And it makes me happy that you guys appear to be enjoying it as well. I have not gotten any kind of fan letters or anything like that, and I'm not asking for it. But if you want to email me, you can. You could just shoot me an email, todd@206geek.com. You can also hit me up on social media at 206geek on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I'm now actually on TikTok, the 206 Geek on there. I've been really enjoying watching other people just do goofy stuff on there. You know, it's all silly stuff, and that's why I like it. It's silly. So if you really enjoy the podcast, please share it with people. Tell people about it. Tell them they can listen to it by going to 206geek.com. They can search for it in their favorite podcasting app. Just search for The 206 Geek. And I actually set up another podcast feed where whenever I do these live shows that I've been doing, they will be saved in a place where you can download them through a normal podcast app instead of having to go to Get Vocal to watch or watch it on Facebook or whatever other platforms I have it simulcast on. And if you do a search for The 206 Geek, you should also see one that comes up as The 206 Geek Live, and in brackets it says recorded. And that's going to be the one where all the live streams that I do, the recordings will go there. And it would be great if people actually come to the live streams that I do. I'd love to be able to communicate with people and, you know, in chat and whatever else. But that doesn't seem to be what people that listen to my podcast want to do, which is, you know, I would love to have some interaction with you guys, but it's not required. I don't want to be that guy who says you need to. No, I'm not doing that. So again, thank you for listening to the podcast. Also, please consider giving the show a rating and a review over on Apple. And the easiest way to get to that is to go to rate.206geek.com. There's a link in there so where you can go to the Apple podcast thing and give a rating and a review. It's easy to do if you're an iPhone or an iPad user or any of the mobile devices that are Apple related. You can just go to the podcast and do the rating and review there. If you're an Android person or a PC person, you have to have iTunes installed on your computer to do the rating and review. But if you do that, that helps me out because the more people who rate and review the podcast, the more visible the podcast is supposed to be, and I appreciate that. I see the reviews as they come in, It definitely helps me realize that people do actually listen to me and are enjoying what I'm doing here. So please do that. Please give me a rating and a review. I would love to see people's thoughts on the podcast. And thanks again. I'll talk to you guys next week.